with us, so that we would be ready to receive even His goodness at this time. So let us just pray before we start. I've got a lot to say, so please, guys, bear with me. We're going to spend some time together in God's Word. Father, we thank You that this morning we can bring our hearts to You. We can bring, Father God, just even our own ideas to You. Father, many times we have our own agendas. Father God, we even have our own ideas about the kingdom. And this morning we bring all of it before You because we don't have all the answers. Father, we only hear in part. We only understand in part. And Father, we even get to even interpret in part. And therefore this morning, Father, we recognize that nobody that's sitting here, Father God, has the whole revelation of God. And that is how You designed us, Father. That is how You love communicating with us, Father, because we need one another. And we need You. And Father, we are desperate this morning because we need more of You. And Father, thank You for so many testimonies this morning of ways in which You've engaged with Your people. We love that. We love the way in which You go about with Your people. And Father, we ask that this morning You will once again come and meet with Your people. Thank You for the sweet presence, Father God, of even that last song. And Father, the fact that You are really revealing Yourself so closely to us. And this morning we are open to receive You and to even invite You to come and fill this place. This whole place, because it will not be the same if Your presence is not here with us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so guys, I want to ask you, this is more than what you can chew on one day. So you'll need to write it down, please, if you have iPads or whatever fancy method you have to write down scriptures, please do so. I'll ask Trevor, maybe you should just send the PowerPoint to Carlos as well so that we can actually work through it afterwards. I want to ask you to really spend time in this. This is more than what I can talk to you about this morning. But after Anton and Christelle spoke last weekend, I really felt this is what God wants to talk to, or the weekend before that, wants to talk to us about. And it's something that you will have to go and work through with God. Okay, this is a relationship, and it doesn't come cheap. And I want to just say, you know, I've realized, and I think I've mentioned it here before, because every time I get here, a Sunday like this, or the day before I leave, is always one of those days like yesterday, where poor Ian and Margot must sit on the bench in front of, what is the place called? Primark, there in Kingston. And wait for us because we are busy collecting gifts to take back home. Now, you know, it's tremendous over the years to see the faces of the kids, because even if it's a China toy or, you know, just something with a British flag on, it even if it just works for a week, it's fine. You must just not come empty-handed, okay? But when you get back home, there's always an expectation for that suitcase to be uncovered. Okay, are you with me? Okay, you guys, probably when you go to South Africa and you come back, that's maybe what Alistair, guys like you, will have to do. But, you know, it's amazing through the years just to watch my little kids, the way that they respond. Because at first, you know, when they were little, when you bring the gift, they can't wait for that suitcase to be opened. But the older they get, the more they get fond of the moment. The fact that we can sit around the suitcase and we can talk about the experience that we had on this side. It's actually amazing to see our eldest one. You know, the gifts is precious, but having dad and mom back at home and having those family times, it brings back so many memories and so many special times. Because of relationship. And you know what? We as Christians, when we start off with a relationship with God, it works the same. At first, we accept God because of what we can get from Him. And that's why, you know, even being driven by eternity and, you know, heaven and all those things, that's special. Especially when you start off with God and you realize that this is now it. I've received the key of eternity. But you through the years, and you know, that's why I love to see older people serving God passionately, because that, I must tell you, Alba, guys like you that's been around for, you know, for so long serving God, I honor you. Just because I know it's not that easy. I know that, you know, the longer you walk with God, you can take for granted how special it is to have God on your side. And, you know, but the special thing about it is the more you walk with God, the more you want God to be close to you. And I, through the years, you know, we had to move our stuff now, and it was quite a hectic time. You know, we didn't have a lot of sleep, me and Milani, packing up our house and, you know, getting ready to come here. And I've said one day to my wife, you know what, I feel unsaved today. I just feel like I wish I can just go and sit down and spend time with God, because I've got a hunger in me for the presence of God. But you know what, we've been made to be content with something. And that something so often gets filled with the wrong stuff. And especially here in the culture, and I can tell you, coming from the outside again, I'm so aware of it, that you always talk about stuff. The next gadget and the next event and the amazing stuff that's happening around you. And that drives this society. If you don't have something to do next weekend, or you don't talk about the specs of this new thing that you are saving for, there's actually not a conversation. Are you with me? There's a lot of that talk around, because we so easily get trapped in satisfying our souls with the wrong stuff. Now, I'm not judging you, because I'm as guilty as you are. But I can tell you this morning, because I love my gadgets, you know, I love my Apple and my... The first things that I found out, you know, is how do you go about in, you know, the gadgets here in the UK. But the strange thing is that you feed the appetite that at the end you will be hungry for. And, you know, I've watched a movie years ago. I think it was called Missing or something like that. It was... this one guy that said that, you know, they asked him what his life all about, Indian guy, and he said, you know what, life is about two wolves fighting one another, the white wolf and the black wolf. And the guy asked him, so which one is winning? He said, the one that I'm feeding the most. And I want to say to you this morning, relationship with God is stirring an appetite that will either become more of God or more of what the world has to offer. But you will be hungry for what you feed yourself on. Is it not so? The more that you eat fast food, the more you want fast food. Are you with me, guys? That which you feed your appetite on is the thing that at the end you will be hungry of. And therefore, our hunger is the thermometer of where we are spiritually. And I want to say to you, you know what? Spending time with God does not come cheap. And I'm so glad that you've mentioned it this morning, Laura, because it's a conscious decision to go and sit down and to connect with God and to allow Him to guide our lives. But beyond that, to let His presence become something that we cannot live without. Now listen to these scriptures, James 4 verse 8, and I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. Please write them down. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And you can go and read a few books. I want to mention them because I actually think it will help you. It's one of those things that, things that you must get a hold of. Thus saith the Lord from John Bevere. Go and read that book. You can even go and read Is It Really You, God? From Lauren Cunningham. What was the other one? Practicing the Presence of God. Beautiful books that you can go and read about. Even Benny Hinn's first book. I still love that one a lot. Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I'm not a big Benny Hinn fan, but I really treasure what The Anointing Upon the Man's Life. Because that one, that first book of his was actually the essence of his ministry. Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Go and read that book. It's beautiful. But guys, practicing the presence of God brings us to a place where you and I must understand that we decide how close we will draw to God, because He's always there. God is here this morning. The fact that we are not experiencing Him is not God's fault. We must be in tune with what God is busy saying and find contentment within that in our lives. So listen to this scripture, Psalm 40 verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works that you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God really ponders His thoughts about us. Psalm 139 verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Jeremiah 29:11, also a well-known scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And there's many such instances in the Bible that we read about, men like Moses and, you know, Samuel, people that really fervently seek the presence of God and had the opportunity to actually be in the midst of the presence of God. And you and I find ourselves in the same place. Now, how do we satisfy this hunger? And why are we not intimate with God? Psalm 42 verse 1 to 4. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. Why don't we thirst after God? When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. Listen to this. You must really listen to this part of the scripture. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with a multitude, and I went with them to the house of the Lord with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Now listen to this. The psalmist says, when I remember these things, what is these things? Okay. Woo. What is these things? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. A thirst for God. So the psalmists talk about a pondering of his thoughts of God. And how often do you and I go and sit down, as Laura said this morning, and ponder God's thoughts toward us and the way that we are feeling toward God? This word, to remember, is the word zakar, and it's more than just to recall, it's to retain thought, to ponder. Revelation 3 verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. Now, I want to say to you this morning, this is not an invitation to somebody that does not know the Lord. And we've read many scriptures this morning even about this. This speaks to Christians and an invitation from God to fellowship. A meal is a very intimate experience, and therefore here in Revelations it speaks about the door, and you and I need to open that door in order for God to come and fellowship with us. Now guys, listen, I want to say to you, you know, you and I, in spending time with God, we allow our hunger, our thermometer, our spiritual thermometer, to be conditioned by what we feed ourselves on. And my question this morning to you is, what do you feed yourself on? Because if, you know, spiritual things and just the reality of a relationship with God and walking the road with Him, as was said this morning, if that is your hunger, you know what? You will want to have more the more you get of it. Now, what is God's voice not? And I want to just leave a few things with you this morning, because I want you to work through these things and allow God to start to work at your heart and more about His presence entering into a relationship with you. I want to first say what God's voice is not. What a relationship with God is not. Now, first of all, signs through a miracle is not necessarily God and God's voice. And unfortunately, you know, I see many people that find themselves within spiritual circles and in Christianity, and they've got this desire to always see miracles in order to confirm God's presence and what God is doing in their lives. And yes, we need that, and it's amazing, and I want to say to you this morning, I've got a desire to come to God often and saying to Him, God, I want the Moses experience. I want to take off my sandals and I want to see You. I want to experience You. And all of us must have that desire. But not necessarily the voice of God. And we often, you know, Jesus had to say to the Pharisees even, you wicked generation, because you want signs and wonders in order to know that I am the One, that I am in Your presence. And I want to say to you guys, a relationship with God is not necessarily signs of miracles. Secondly, it's not a formula. You know, I see many Christians spending time with God and they manipulate God and say, God, if You give me this sign, I will know. And that's what, you know, so many times makes Gideon's little fleece a difficult, you know, example for us in the Bible. Because God spoke to Gideon in that way. And I want to say to you, you know what? Sometimes we put out our fleece, but it's not necessarily the only way that God is going to speak to you. And sometimes we ask God, God, if You just show me this sign, then I will be satisfied that You are with me. It's not a formula. If I would have a relationship with my wife working through formulas, it will always boomerang. You know, I've, in especially those of you that are in relationships, I can just say this morning, is it not so? Today it's coffee or tea in the bed. Tomorrow it's taking her to the shops. But taking tea every morning to her bedside is not necessarily the relationship. Do you agree with me? Because it's the special things in the way in which I engage in her heart that allows us to have relationship. And sometimes I see Christians working with God like this. There's a little formula that you and I work out, and if I just put God in this box, then, I would spend time with Him. See, not a name it and claim it method. You know, I've experienced this in Christian circles as well. Taking the Bible and, you know, open it at some place and you start to read at a scripture, and then this is the word that God has given us. And I want to say to you, not necessarily. God has many times spoken to me in such a way that I open the Bible at a certain place, I read through it, and God reveals Himself to me. But it's not necessarily the way that God will be speaking to you. And then, the last thing that a relationship with God or the voice of God is not necessarily about is it's not open and closed doors necessarily. And, you know, we as Christians often fall in a trap of, you know, looking at open and closed doors as if it's provision from God. And I want to say to you, that is not necessarily so. Now, we've been looking at, how many houses was it, my wife? Was it 34? It was over 30 houses the last week or so. It's quite tiresome, but I'm telling you, you ask God questions. You say, God, but we really felt this was the right house. Why did you give it to somebody else? You know, why did you not give that house to us? We really felt that it was your spirit moving. You know what? And sometimes we miss God. But it's not about the right and wrong of the relationship and the things that's happening around us, but it's the relationship. You know how precious it was to every house consecrated to the Lord and say, God, if this is you, please help us, show us. And God would reveal certain things to us, but it's in a relationship. And this season of our lives, we are vulnerable and we need God to speak to us. But it's not a formula. It's not an open door principle. There's some things that's a clear open door of some houses that we found that it was a clear open door, and yet it was not of God. We didn't have the witness that this is what God wants for our lives. And so I want to say to you this morning, be careful to let your relationship with God be dictated by open and closed doors, saying that, God, if you open this door, I know it's of you. This is a relationship. This walk with Jesus is one where you can have the most beautiful times with God when you miss God. When you are disappointed. God, but we really thought this was you. This moment was actually ordered by you. And the beauty is when you can go and ask God those questions and you can start to work it through with God. And I want to say to you, relationship with God does not come cheap. Because God is a loving God. And His desire to draw closer to us beyond our circumstances and our little formulas is amazing. So there's seven things that I'm going to mention now. So please keep up with me about God's voice. What is God's voice then? John 8 verse 26, 29. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but you sent me is true. And I declare to the world what I have heard from Him. They did not understand that He had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I am always to do the things that are pleasing Him. So I want to ask you this morning, are you doing the things that is pleasing to God? Not because of open doors, not because even you are walking in the circumstances that you're in, but because God has said. And you can walk in faith with God in such a place. The first thing is He will guide you. And I want to say to you, the most important thing when we walk in relationship with God and making decisions in our lives is that God, you cannot really miss God if you have a desire for Him to draw closer. Because it's so difficult not to hear God's voice if you really obey Him and stay humble and seek for His guidance. Proverbs 16 verse 9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes steps. If you really walk in humility and you really allow God to be present in your lives, He will meet you. He says, if you draw closer to me, I will draw closer to you. And that is His desire. He has a desire to draw closer to you and I. Now, I want to say to you, in doing so, we must also admit this morning that, you know, His guidance sometimes comes with a challenge. Because first of all, you and I must submit to His lordship, which means that He is in control of our lives. That we are not in control of our own lives and our own desires and our own fleshly weaknesses cannot overshadow those. Listen to it in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So, in God's guidance, we must first of all submit to His Lordship. Secondly, we need to resist the devil. Okay? Because the devil don't want you to spend time with God. The devil does not want you to actually succeed in having His presence in your life. And you know what? For you and I, this brings a challenge, because often we get sidetracked when the enemy comes against us and we start to doubt in the things that God has said to us. And I'm going to use some examples just now, but listen to this. James 4 verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and all His strength and His might, but put on the whole armor of God. I'm not going to read that whole scripture. But guys, we need to be vigilant in order to experience His presence in our lives and to get His leading. We must know that the enemy is going to come against us. And so, thirdly, expect an answer by waiting upon Him. Now, that is what I love about what you said this morning, Laura, is those moments when you say, God, and can I just say this morning, God does not hammer on your door and He does not break that door down of your will and your life. God will not overpower you. Those moments where you think that God is now just going to take control and He's just going to autopilot you is wrong. Because God gave you and I the will and the desire to actually choose to follow Him. And so opening that door comes through expectation. Now I want to say it to you this morning. If you expect God to work in your life, God will draw closer. Because He will not overpower you and He will not take advantage of the decisions that you make in this life. And so in that expectation, John 10 verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. But as for me, Psalm 69:13, my prayers is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Exodus 33 verse 11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Then Moses turned again into the camp. His assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, could not depart from the tent because he loved the presence of God. My question to you is, do you love the presence of God? Do you love spending time with Him because you cannot go without Him? That expectation, you know, I'm walking the streets of London and I realize, God, this can become so lonely. This can be so empty because it does not fulfill the special place of your presence in my life. I need this. I cannot go without a day with all of, you know, just the amazing, you know, things happening around you, and without sitting down in quietness and say, God, I need you so desperately. Please come and show yourself faithful to me. And so I'm saying to you this morning, there's an expectation that you and I... Now, I remember, and I quickly want to just mention to you our journey to here, because for me, these things get revealed to you in your circumstances and walking the road with God. I remember 3 years ago going to Pastor Fred and saying to him, listen, Pastor Fred, you know, me and Milani, we're willing to go to London if it needs to. We know that we can easily stay in South Africa as well. We can do whatever you want us to do, but we're available. We don't know even if it's really God, but we are putting it before you. 3 years ago. And then Pastor Fred said, no, there's no ways that you guys are going to go. What will happen with, everything that's on that side? You guys stay just where you are. And that was about November, 3 years ago. I can't remember the exact time. But so Pastor Fred came the next year to London, and when he returned, he said, pack your things and go, because what you said was right, and I've got a witness in my spirit that God is saying that. And we went back, and I said to him, yuch, but this is now very quickly, you know, we can't just go in a month's time, we really need to wrap things up. We spent time with God. And I want to say to you this morning, the journey of walking the road with God takes time. And we are often putting so much pressure on God to, you know, to be like a soothsayer in our lives. To perform and give us, you know, what exactly we should do and must do. And so I returned to England that year by November, not last year, the year before that. I came to you guys here, and I then said, okay, I'll take it as a region and do the regional oversight over Europe. And I came here, and I still said to God, oh God, listen, this is a difficult one. I need to hear from you. I cannot make a move like this at this stage of my life with three kids and my daughters, you know, one being in what's secondary school here, what do you call it, high school, and two others following just after her. It's a very big decision. Came back I came to London then, and that morning the little van that we had broke down, and David was supposed to come and pick me up at the Wimbledon station. He came to pick me up, and we had to rush to my sermon on that Sunday morning from the Wimbledon station all the way to South Wimbledon. And but I remember walking around the corner, and I immediately had this moment where I stood next to a building, the YMCA, and I said to David, David, this is crazy. This was the building when I was here in 97, 98. I was a security guard as a student. I was on those student holiday visas. Some of you might remember them in the olden days. So I came on those, and I worked here in London as a security guard. And I was always working in this YMCA, and I walked through the corridors with my guitar, worshiping God the whole time. And I said to him, you know, it's just amazing the times that I had here with God. It was some of the most special things that I've ever experienced with God. He said, you know, this was the first venue that we used in London when we started Shofar. And I never even knew that. And it was that moment that I had with God, when God could speak to me and said, you're going to come back to complete the work that you've started. And you know what? I immediately knew that was God speaking to me. I want to say to you, you know what? This journey with God is amazing, because in due season, He will speak to us. So I went back after that visit in May the next year, which was last year, with the Empower 21. I came back. I was still not totally convinced. I really had to... I said, God, just confirm, because this is a big move. He came here, and I remember so clearly. I said then to Fred, Fred, I know we must go. We've had our confirmation. But I just need to know that, you know, God is with us, and that we're going to... I need really a good confirmation. I came back in May, and I remember walking down South Bank all the way to Tower Bridge. Yeah, Tower Bridge. And we sat there in one of the coffee shops, the Starbucks, and with David and Sally. It was me, Milani, David and Sally, and we were busy talking, and the next moment a falcon came to sit there on one of the bars, what do you call it, steel bars, that's next to the rails, next to the shop. it was that moment, because in the past God spoke so many times to me through nature in seeing eagles and stuff, and you know, I had this moment with God where God previously spoke to me this way, and I was sitting there, I think in London, a falcon coming to sit on a rail next to the coffee shop in the midst of city. This is just crazy. This cannot be. And as I was sitting there, and we had this moment, and I said, David, can this be true? And he immediately, as you guys do it here in London, Googled this thing, falcon in the streets of London. And then we got an article of this guy that's busy cleaning the streets of London with this falcon, the pigeons, to get rid of them. And we went to Trafalgar Square, where we worshipped that evening. And some of you were even there that evening at Trafalgar Square, where we worshipped. And amazing time. And this one guy came to me. He was a homeless guy with only a backpack. And he came to stand next to me, and he asked me, what are you guys doing? And the next moment, he was busy scratching through his bag, but there was stuff in it. I'm telling you, there was bananas, and it was dirty. It was, but through all of it, he got hold of his Bible, and then he opened the Bible at Isaiah 40, and he started to read to me. He said, "You know what? God is saying to you that He sees the eagle and the broken wing." And Jesus himself is walking to this eagle to come and restore its wing, because this eagle is going to fly very high again. And I immediately knew this is God speaking. God works in mysterious ways. It's amazing how when we allow God with an expectation in our hearts to meet and to experience His presence, that He will come to come very close to us. And you know what? It's in moments like that when you even see your circumstances become difficult, and you see all things happening around you, and the enemy comes with its onslaughts to come and say, is it really God's assignment? And then you stand before God and you say, but I don't need to explain this to you. I know the word that God has given me. And I want to say to you this morning, it's precious. Be in a place where you can experience the presence of God. When God speaks into your life, it makes sense. And you find contentment within Him speaking to you. And so the second thing, and I'm going to run through the last, so please relax. I don't want to mention all the things, and I can maybe just say, God speaks through His word, audible voice sometimes, and this doesn't happen a lot in Christian lives, but I can tell you I've had experiences like that when I really heard God's voice audibly. Dreams, when you sleep, when God speaks to you. Visions, when you are awake and God gives you certain pictures and revelations. Inner voice, that calm inner voice that you just know God is speaking to you. And then nature. As I mentioned as well, there's times that you sit in nature and you just see the fingerprint of God all over. You just experience God in His creation. So the second thing that I want to mention is the one of confess unforgiving sin. So the first one that I said is God will direct you. The second one is, guys, we need to go and sort out the sin in our lives. There's reasons why there's a distance between us and God. And therefore, even with our fellow brethren. If there's things between you and other people, God says, go from the altar back to your brother and go and sort it out. And then you come back and listen to me and receive my words and my voice in your life. Listen to this scripture, Psalm 66, verse 18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would have not listened. Guys, often we have all the reasons to actually be offended with people around us. We have all the reasons why, you know, we can feel the way that we are feeling. But you know what? I want to have the voice of God in my life. So I make sure that I sort out those things. I don't leave it for tomorrow. I don't leave it for one day. I make sure that I sort it out today. Because I need to hear God's voice. And so thirdly, the exit principle. And guys, I wanted to spend a lot more time, but we are running out of time. Let's just quickly read Amos 8, verse 11 to 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst of water, but the hearing the words of the Lord. Now, disobedience brings a desert experience over our lives. And sometimes we need to go through the desert to actually, you know, desire the presence of God in our lives more. Now, if I can just quickly mention, you know, 1 Samuel 3, maybe I should just read it. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. There is a place where you and I grow within God's presence, within hearing God's voice. But you know what? Often people come to me and they say to me, you know, I struggle to hear the voice of God. I struggle to actually, so long ago have I heard God's voice. And then I would say to them, please tell me when last did God speak to you and what did he speak to you about? Go and spend time with God and tomorrow you come back to me and we have this discussion. And then the person would come back and I tell you this I've done many times in the ministry. When they spend time with God and God reveals to them, listen, but this is the last time that I spoke to you, but you did not do what I expect you to do. And they go back to that moment, if it was go and forgive your brother, maybe it was to do a certain assignment for God, or maybe even be obedient in a certain aspect of your relationship with God. Then I see how the touch points start to again flourish because you go back to where God last spoke to you and you start to have that discussion with God. And I often see Christians, you know, in confusion about what God is saying in their lives, but they don't want to listen to what God is saying as well. Because you know, I've never been in the presence of God without being challenged. There's certain things and questions that God asks me that I need to work through with him. And if I don't, God always brings me back to the same question. Can we again talk about this area in your life? This thing that you must work through with me? And so, you know, I love the scripture of Abram and his obedience, which says, early the next morning, Abram took his slaves and his son, and they went to the mountain. I want to say to you, we as Christians, we so often wait for a next day and a next and one day and to be obedient to God. But it's the early in the next morning obedience in God which allows us to actually experience his presence. There's a step of obedience that God is expecting. And then, number four, get your own leading. Others can confirm, but you hear first directly. Okay, this is important. You should not come to this Sunday service without hearing what God wants to speak to you about. What I'm saying to you should only be a confirmation of what God has already spoken to you about. Are you with me this morning? You must come with the expectation to the Sunday service that God is saying to you certain things to such an extent that you can have that confirmed by your spiritual leaders in your life. Okay. And I want to say to you guys, I often get people going to all their friends and they have all the discussions about their circumstances and what they experience and they go and feed on all the opinions of people that will listen to their stories. And at the end, they miss out on what God wants because they never went to God first. So that whatever their friend says is a confirmation or not a confirmation of what God is saying. Now, I want to say to you this morning, hearing the voice of God means that you and I should not feed on other people's opinions. We should spend time with God, and we should spend time with our fellow brethren, but only as a confirmation. Guys, because our friends must help us and we must stay in accountability. But you know what? If you don't directly hear from God, you will be confused and you will go according to the opinions of men. And you will be going astray, not following the voice of God. Romans 3 verse 11 to 12. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. People all have their own agendas and their own opinions about your life. And I can tell you, if I've gone according to other people's opinion of my life, I would not be in England. But I know that there's people that's very close to me and walking a road, and a spiritual road with me through years, like a Pastor Fred or some of the other leaders in the church, that I bounce my wild ideas on. Because I have visions of great things and amazing things, but it's not always of the Lord. Are you with me this morning? Because I know that I need to be accountable to people around me to also get the godly wisdom that's necessary. But I need to go and feed from what God is saying to me. Are you with me? And so 1 Corinthians 2:9-12 says, but as it's written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, not the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So, also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. John 14:16. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you in remembrance all that I have said to you. Don't talk about your guidance until God gives you permission. And I want to just, this is a very important thing about spending time in the presence of God. I've seen so many Christians, immediately when they hear from God, they want to tell the whole world what God is saying. And sometimes we must allow God just to work a few things through with us. The reasons is pride. God is speaking only to me alone, and we sometimes think so. Presumption. Speak before you have the full understanding, as I said this morning. We only hear in part. And then thirdly, missing God in timing and method. And then bring confusion to others that are not prepared hearts in our circumstances. And I want to say to you guys, it's amazing how, you know, walking this road with God, how God speaks to us. If you have a servant, and that servant only does 5 of the 10 things that you ask him to do well, will you give him another job if you have a servant that does 10 out of 10 things right? To who will you give the next assignment? Okay. Woo, are you with me? Guys, God spends relationship with us. He spends time with us. And there's certain things that He expects us to even do in His kingdom. And we need to be obedient in that. Because the more we become obedient, the more God can assign more things to us and greater responsibility. And so God reveals Himself to us more and more as we are faithful in the least. And then the wise men principle, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. I went to God and I said, God, please speak through my brothers. Allow your word to be established in my life through the counsel of other people. I didn't even go to them. I allowed God to, in time, send the people over my path that could speak. And it was close people that spoke into my life. And so it's important that you don't just, and I see it often, and I want to say it this morning, I see many people coming to the pastor after they've made decisions. And they're spiritual leaders in the church. And then you say, but listen, why do you tell me you're going because you've already made the decision? Or, you know, why do you go back to South Africa if we don't have that conversation, you know, with you? And I'm just saying to you this morning, not that you should not hear from God, but there is a relationship happening with people around you, and you need wisdom. And so I would go to my spiritual leaders first, saying, you know what, I've received this word from God, and God said you're going to finish the work that you've started. Can we talk about it? Can we have this conversation? Because in doing so, I want your impartation in my life. I want God to also witness through you in my life. And I want to say to you guys, if you make big decisions in your life, make sure to share those with the leaders in your life, the spiritual leaders. Make sure to walk the road with the people that are accountable. The sad thing about this is many times people will come after they've made the decision, and then when they are wrong, you must help them to sort out the mess. So I'm not cross with anybody, but I can tell you this morning, guys, we need to walk in accountability with one another and see the witness of God in the people around us. Because God loves to communicate with us as His people, well beyond our own agenda, our own thoughts, and the way that we go about doing business as usual. A place where we can enter into a corporate anointing of what God is doing. Number six, I'm almost finished. Opposition can be the guidance from God. Acts 21, verse 10 to 12. I don't want to read the scripture now. I don't have time. But I want to just say, Paul coming to Jerusalem, and they said to him, you will remember Agabus, or what was the prophet, he said he should not go into the city. And then Paul said to him, no. I must go, even though you are right. Your prophecy is right about the hardship that I'm going to experience. And I am going to be bound in jail. But I need to go to jail because God has a plan with us. And I want to say to you guys, many times we see the opposition as the devil fighting against us. And we need to work through it by asking God some questions. Why is this happening in my life? God, why do I experience this hardship? So that God can minister to us. Daniel and his friends, if they would have fought the devil for the fiery furnace, they would not have the testimony of being obedient to God and change a nation. Listen to this. Acts 4 verse 18 to 21. So they called them and charged them not to speak to teach or at the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. Now, I want to end off this morning and saying to you, hearing the voice of God needs practice. We grow in our relationship with God, in our ability to hear God's voice. And there's nothing that can replace that. You know, I love cycling, but I'm not in good shape now because I don't cycle a lot. But I can tell you, when I come back, I'll cycle. But you know what? There's nothing that I can do to prevent these bums to get fit, to get sore before it can get better than saddle time. I need to sit on that cycle and spend hours on that cycle in order to get fit, cycle fit, saddle fit, so that I can reach my end destination. But it takes a lot of time and effort to do so. But you know what? When you spend a few hours, then you immediately start to get saddle fit to such an extent where you can sit hours on that bicycle and you can reach your end destination. There's no ways that you can get to the end of that destination if you don't do saddle time. And I want to say to you, this journey with God is exactly the same. And just as the gifts of the Holy Spirit and even miraculous gifts, the more you flow, the more you grow. I remember once saying to God, God, if you heal my eye, because I cannot see well through my one eye because of a rugby accident, if you heal my eye, I will pray for other people to be healed. And God said to me, this is nonsense. Because the more you flow, the more you grow. Don't worry about yourself. Make sure that you pray for whatever and whoever. And because the more you see in the small things I come through for you, the more I will grow even in this gift in your life. And I want to say to you this morning, if you want to spend time with God, you need to start small. You need to spend time at least 10 minutes from tomorrow morning. And then the next week, 20 minutes. And so you go on. But you can't spend hours in the presence of God to begin with. You grow in hearing the voice of God. Now listen to this. 1 Samuel 3, verse 4 to 7. And I'm ending off with these scriptures. Because my wife is taking or kidnapping your children. Yeah. 1 Samuel, listen to this. Let's just listen how Samuel grew in hearing the voice and the anointing of God upon his life. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, here I am. He ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel, listen to this. This is beautiful. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. This is the starting point. Can we just admit when we don't hear the voice of God so that we can start? And be honest about the fact that we really need to spend time with God. Can we have some honest conversations about the time that we do spend with God? Because it will help you. I'm not condemning you this morning. You know, I'm at the same place. I'm saying to God, God, I want to have more. I want to spend more time with you. I'm practicing it. I'm pushing into it. 1 Samuel 8, verse 7 to 10. Listen how it progressed in chapter 8. And the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, according to all the deeds that they have done, from the day I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them. Listen how this is changing now. First it says that Samuel did not hear the voice of God yet. Then it says he was now hearing so much from God and in obedience to God that he can warn other people on behalf of God. Listen to this. Warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king for them. From him. And I'm reading 1 Samuel 12. This is the 12th chapter, verse 11 to 18. But let me go to verse 17. I'll call upon the Lord that may send thunder and rain, and you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for yourselves a king. So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. All the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Can I just say to you this morning, this is a man that started off by not even discerning the voice of God, where he could start to operate in obedience to whatever God told him, to a place where he could call thunder from the heavens, because he was obedient to spend time in the presence of God. I want to say to you this morning, I want to draw closer. I want to come to the place where God reveals himself to me. Can we just quickly stand? Laura, can we get some music here, please? I know over time, so please bear with me. I know this is a lot of information this morning, but you know what? I want to challenge you. You know, it's sometimes in our boxes, it's for us more difficult to spend 10 minutes listening to a sermon and spend time in the presence of God and be quiet before God and to sit for hours on our iPads. And you know, I just loved what you did this morning, Laura. By just the silence of not even singing words, but just listening to the music and focusing on pondering the presence of God. I miss that. I want to spend more of those times in the presence of God just because I love Him. I cannot live without Him. I want to say to you this morning, I'm not going to call you to the front. We're only a few. We're going to pray for one another. I want us to keep one another accountable, to hear more from God, to spend more time and to prioritize our diaries, to actually fit into God's schedule more, so that we can hear more about Him. We're going to save so much more time if we spend with God first, time first, before we make major decisions. You know, there's many times these 2 weeks where I would seek for houses, and God would just remind me again that it's not about even getting the right house. It's about the journey. It's about those times when me and my wife would go and sit down in South Park Gardens and say, God, we agree together that this is the place and the area that you want us to stay. We are trusting you for our house. Those are the special moments. Those are the times when, you know, we know that it's worth it. All the sacrifice in the world cannot replace that. And we cannot even talk about the sacrifice, because the obedience to God is a lot better. And I want to say to you this morning, we're spending too little time with God and making too many assumptions about our own ability to think that we know everything. We must humble ourselves and become smaller and of less importance to ourselves and to our fellow men, and recognize our inability more toward God. Then we will see the society here in London being changed, transformed. Going back to South Africa, the schools and the community that you will be serving, that will be transformed. If we have the presence of God in our lives, then we can relax and say, God, we just go with your agenda and you will sort out the rest. Let's just pray this morning. Father, I pray for every person here. Before we pray together, I want to bring every person into your presence this morning. And I want to ask you, Father, we want to hear your voice. And Father, we recognize that we miss you often. We recognize that we want methods, Father God, and ways to hear your voice, Father God, more than we want a relationship. A place, Father God, where we can hear your heart. And Father, I remember how you spoke to me years ago. And you said to me, don't just follow my hand, follow my heart as well. And Father, I recognize this morning that so often I want to follow your hand. Wherever you go, whatever you do, and whatever amazing stuff, Father God, goes around in your kingdom, rather than to, Father God, draw closer to your heart as well. And this morning I pray that you'll teach us to come closer to your heart in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we leave this morning, I know I'm over time, relax. There's probably more than enough food at home. You'll survive. Let's pray over one another to go deeper with God. Not our circumstances, and God deliver us from our circumstances and stop. God, I want to have more of you. Is that all right this morning? Let's turn to one another and pray for one another. Let's keep it a special time of just consecration to the Lord here. And whenever you need to leave, please run, but not too fast. And enjoy this afternoon and this week. Amen.